Welcome to Innovations in Leadership, a Success League radio production. This is a podcast focused on customer success and the leaders who are designing and implementing best practices in our field. This podcast is brought to you by the Success League, a consulting and training firm focused on developing customer success programs that drive revenue. My name is Kristen Hayer, and I'm the host of Innovations in Leadership and the founder and CEO of the Success League. Lauren Costella is a friend of mine, a fellow board member at the Customer Success Leadership Network, and she is the Chief Customer Officer at Dental Intelligence. And I'm so excited for our topic today because Lauren has spent the past 6 months working really hard with her team to build out digital customer success, and she's going to share with us how she did it. So Lauren, always great to talk with you, and welcome to the podcast yet again.
Thank you so much, Kristen, and I'm super excited to be back on. I waited till we had actual results with metrics, knowing you, before coming on and sharing what we're doing. So I'm very excited to share because we do have concrete results from our digital and it's going really well. And I'm excited to share it with the CS community.
Ah, that's awesome. So you've been on our podcast a number of times in the past, but we have new listeners. So tell us about your career path into customer success.
Wonderful question. So I suppose I've had an interesting career getting into customer success since I began in nonprofit. I moved to federal government work, worked at the Pentagon for a few years. And then my first foray into customer success was over 10 years ago, and I started as a customer success manager. And from there, I've been a team lead, run enterprise accounts, I've done CS operations, and then moved into executive leadership roles about 6 years ago. This is my first chief customer officer role here at Dental Intelligence, and it's also one of the largest scales that I've worked with. So here at Dental Intelligence, we do dental software for dental practices. We help them run the business side a little bit more easy. So you can imagine that dentists are really good at dentistry, and we want to support them in running the business side so they can focus on patient care. This has been a really interesting company to work for because we have 9,000 customers and 75% of those customers are SMB.
Yeah, it's a really interesting use case. We've worked with a couple of other dental software companies and also veterinary companies, which you wouldn't think was related to dental companies at all, but it is surprisingly related because just like dentists are good at being dentists and maybe not great at the business side of what they do, vets are good at being vets and also not maybe great at the business side of what they do. And the software that supports both of those kinds of practices is really important. And so, and it presents an interesting variety of challenges, which I'm sure you're going to share with us in a minute. Tell us how CS is set up at Dental Intelligence. What was the driver for moving toward a more scalable digital CS program?
Wonderful question. So I joined Dental Intelligence in June of 2022, and maybe other companies are facing this, but Dental Intelligence did have a retention problem, and we had to focus the company around improving retention. And there's a number of strategies that the company was taking, but a lot of it had to do with we needed to invest more into customer success and we needed to get leadership there. So hence why they brought me in. As we were talking and as I was interviewing, one of the biggest challenges they faced was doing high touch customer success, which is very natural for people to start with. They were trying to do that with SMB customers and thousands of customers. And you can't run a business profitably by having humans do everything with customers. So they really wanted to transition to a model that would allow us to provide a wonderful customer experience, one that customers could still benefit, use our product, and have a ton of success. And yet, make sure that we could do that in a scalable way without just pure human capital.
Yeah, I think that's so important. There are a lot of sort of smaller organizations that are set up similarly. Like I mentioned vets, but there's also spas. There's doctor's offices and there's dental offices, and they're all facing a really similar problem where they're small and yet they're serving their community really well. And there are tons of them across the world and they need software. And yet, if you try to do a human touch with every single one of those clients, it's going to be really tough to achieve a relationship. It's going to be really tough to achieve results for that client. You're going to stress out a large group of CSMs and it's going to be super expensive. And so
yeah.
I think that's the problem you were trying to solve, right?
100%. When I came to the organization, we had huge onboarding velocity issues. So I shared this stat with you when we were talking about the possibility of me coming on here. Our CSM to customer ratio for the SMB side is 800 customers to one. So everybody knows that that's not CSMing at that point. And it really, that's not proactive work, right? The other piece that we faced in onboarding and the velocity was that it was taking 25 days from the moment that you closed one to our customers to be able to log in. 25 days.
That's a lot.
So you can imagine our customers then are not having a great experience because they're coming in, they can't start right away. They lose that momentum of buying. They're calling our sales team trying to get in touch with someone over on the customer success side. And so it really just was on fire when I started. And so we really had to take a look at what were we doing and what could we do quickly to start solving some of these issues. And so in July of last year, I saw an opportunity with some of the teams that we already had. So we had an education team, and the education group was creating help center content. They were creating one-to-many articles. They were actually even doing internal training. So what we did was we looked at that team and I put them on the, I said, we're not just creating help center articles and doing active work. We are going to focus on digital customer success. And digital customer success is not just about getting some of our smaller customers being managed through Tech Touch. It's actually a strategy of how can we create more automation and create digital experiences across all of our customers, including our enterprise customers, including our partner customers. We just wanted to start with SMB. So we came in very focused and said, okay, this group is going to be focused on digital. This group is responsible for creating a digital experience. And we're going to start with onboarding because that's the area that's on fire. And if we can free up some of the resources there, we'll be able to create a better experience for our customers and we'll be able to make sure that they start their journey quicker. And so over the course of Q3, that's what we built was started with onboarding, very small scope, right? Small being relative, but starting with the scope of SMB, starting with the scope of just onboarding and really understanding that customer experience and then putting into place that right journey with the right systems. And then our goal was by the first week of September, we would start running customers, we'd start piloting customers through that. So it was very clear like what we were heading towards, what milestones we needed to hit. And out of that, we also said, and when we start piloting customers, we're looking for time on site, page views, like different metrics that would indicate to us that people are actually making it through this journey, key milestones that they had to achieve. So having all of that mapped out and really ready to go, we aligned the right team members to get this done and we went and executed. But we really needed to take our internal teams and take a look at what they were doing and reorganize them around what we needed them to be doing. And it had to be around specific outcomes, not just activity.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things, and I think I've referenced this on like my last three podcasts, so apologies to my audience if I've said this too much, but I think one of the things in the book, The Effortless Experience, that I really appreciate is the idea that not every customer wants to be in a high-touch relationship with you. In fact, about 75% of them don't. And so most of the people that are in the generations that are currently in the workplace don't want that. They want to be able to self-serve. And so this is a big movement in our space. And I think that your ideas around this are really interesting. Can you talk about how you approached the project itself? It can be really daunting, I think, for teams to think about digital customer success. So how did you make it an attainable effort for the group?
Yeah, we touched on this a little bit, but you could imagine coming into a space with 9,000 customers already, for all intents and purposes, a dumpster fire. Like, how do you even begin to break down, you know, the problem? And there's so many areas that you could solve. I think I've always been a person that's like, take the biggest problem, like, let's just break it down one thing at a time. Right? You just have to break it down into smaller chunks. And so the first thing we really did need to do was focus on our SMB customers. That's 75% of all of our customers in our base. And it was, I think, 80% of the pipeline coming in. Mm-hmm. So knowing that they were getting caught up in onboarding, we really needed to solve that area first. So when you look at the data and what it was telling us, it's SMB. So well, we're not focused on enterprise. We're not focused on partner, right? And then the next piece was, okay, where in our journey? And we knew that onboarding velocity is probably the biggest area. That's as much as like there's other things going on in the middle parts of the journey or at the end. And there was all these issues still there. We really needed to focus on onboarding. That is like the critical experience for your customers and value and where they're going to be able to learn your product and stay with you as a customer. So with that scope in hand, what we then needed to do was to figure out what resources did we have to make this digital experience a reality. Now, we were at an advantage perhaps because we had a content team. We had three people creating content and one lead over that who was managing the team. And so we were lucky enough to be able to take those resources and redirect them on to this project. And the lead of this team happens to be a strong project manager, right? So it happened where we were able to say, okay, here's the scope. It's SMB, it's onboarding. This is what we need the result to be, which is creating an onboarding experience for our customers. And because they've already created a lot of content around this, how do we organize the content? How do we organize our workflow to actually deliver that digitally? And can we look into other systems to help us deliver this? And so that's what actually led us down the path of choosing even new software that we had not implemented before, but that software has made us super successful in the delivery of our tech touch.
Well, I kind of want to get into the details a little bit. Yeah. So are you willing to describe what you did and like which tools you used and which tools you're using? And because I know our audience really loves the details.
Totally. I think the details are what helps it make it attainable. So we did put together a project charter. We had about 8 people on this team. And we had different roles for these folks. But I do want to say it was very cross-functional. It was something that requires buy-in. Like, I needed ops support. Your success operations doesn't fall into customer success. It falls in our ops team. I needed product support. We have a couple of different systems in which we're looking at data and then the experience. So, for example, we needed product to actually go into the code with our engineering team and tag different elements of the product or features, elements of the product and features, so that we could track, are they visiting the pages? Are they spending time on there? What are they doing? Right? So knowing that we would need that to determine success, we needed them as part of our team. After creating this project charter and really defining these milestones and knowing we really wanted to launch this in September because everything was on fire, this team really got to work, right? They were meeting week over week, trying to hit these milestones. And during one of the meetings, because we were trying to use Pendo, I think a lot of people are familiar with that, but Pendo is a tool that definitely tracks product usage, but they also allow you to create user guides. So we were thinking, oh, we're going to implement Pendo here. During that project, what we discovered was Pendo is great, and we actually still have it as part of our tech stack. But specifically for onboarding, we needed to create role-based onboarding. So you could imagine that a dentist, a hygienist, an office manager all have very different roles and use our software quite differently. So we couldn't just do a general guide of here's the product, here's all the stuff and how it works, you figure it out. We really wanted to create an experience where a brand new user would get a pop-up and say, what type of role do you serve or multiple roles do you serve? And then take them through the right journey for them. And Pendo doesn't provide that type of user level engagement. So we actually looked into different software and we ended up going with the software called UserFlow. So UserFlow actually helped us to build very specific guides for very specific roles so that, and it also allowed for tracking on the user end. So that user could see, oh, I'm 50% through my onboarding and I've done this, and we can create alerts around encouraging them to continue that path. So that was really important for us to create that level of engagement, because you're not engaging with a human. So how do we get you the value quickly? And it seems like you're engaging with someone and you know how far you're getting. So that was pretty pivotal to the success of this project, was really identifying that, getting the software, and then implementing it. And it was easy enough to implement in the sense that we were still able to hit our milestone of rolling out in September. It wasn't September 1st, I will admit, it was September 15th, but we rolled it out.
So close, so close, so close. Like, we're not going to worry about that.
Right? Like two weeks.
It's fine.
I think that's also part of the details, right? I think a lot of people find delays in projects or various blockers and things and aren't able to like really move quickly because there isn't goals set. Like we set a very specific milestone and said, go all in on this. And by knowing what we were trying to hit, even though we were a couple weeks late, you're not months late, and we knew what was blocking it. So we were able to unblock that.
That's exactly right. Like if you don't set a goal, things can trail on for months and months. And if you do set a goal, you're probably only going to be late by a week or two, you know, because you have a goal in mind. So I think that's great advice. I know it's still early days, but you did wait for this podcast until you had some results. So tell us about the results you've seen so far.
Yes. So it's pretty exciting, actually. So we launched in mid-September, so 2022. And over the course of now 4 months, we've had over 1,200 customers go through this.
Woo, that's huge. That's a lot of customers.
A lot of customers. We were pushing pretty heavy. So understand, like we started with pilot, right? So we're starting with like a very small group of customers going through this. And we were monitoring, as I mentioned, time on site, pages visited, and doing that per product, because we have a couple of products that people buy together. So we have an analytics product and an engagement product. And so we need to monitor the usage in both of those. And then we also were looking at logins daily and monthly and using a ratio there to make sure that customers were still logging in and we were getting a good number of users in each customer logging in.
And you had a control group too, right?
Yes.
So, like the old way.
Yes, the old way. So we call it guided and self-serve. Okay. So our guided customers is still an option. And by the way, just so people know, we had also implemented during Q3 implementation fees, because that was another area that I think is really important. We had noticed, whether it was guided or other types of onboarding, that customers wouldn't show up. And the thing is when you pay for something, you're more likely to show up for it. So we implemented onboarding fees, and it was higher for guided and a little less for our self-serve option. And then sales folks did have the option to discount down to zero for that. So it gives a little bit more flexibility in the sales cycle. That said, we did have customers choosing guided. That's great. So we can compare now guided customers and self-serve customers together. And our whole goal in comparing those two was to make sure that, okay, the human led, which we all, I think in our gut, we all just believe that human led is going to always be better because you are building that relationship and you're doing this. But I don't know. It's really interesting when you start digging into the data.
No, it's not true. It's not true. I want everyone to go and get the Effortless Experience book right now, because it is not true that people want someone to hold their hand through the whole thing.
Right.
In fact, a lot of times, I mean, if you think about your own experiences, right, as a consumer, I don't want a Target salesperson following me around in Target, like helping me find all the things I want. I just want to go do my thing. So yeah, I agree.
You just want it to be able to answer, like you want to be able to get what you need when you need it. And that's the experience that we really wanted to provide. And I remember saying to the team, like, think about your experience with Amazon. Do you need to call a person every time you like, no, you find your way around, you can navigate. And I get it. Consumer products are different than B2B, but that experience people can still have in B2B products. And I think what we make the mistake of is that, oh, our humans are going to help train our customers better. I'm not saying they can't, but I will say that human error exists and we all make errors in hiring. So the consistency of what you can deliver, that onboarding experience, that management experience, you can't, that's not as predictable as, say, technology helping you to deliver that and doing it in a pretty consistent way. And A/B testing your technology, which that was also built into our project. So we launched this, right? And we were comparing over Q4. Our biggest goal was to make sure that our self-serve customers were performing at the same level as our guided. And performance for us was achieving two specific milestones, one from each product.
Okay.
And then time on site, page views, and then logins. So those kind of are the four key metrics we were looking at. And we compared guided and self-serve. And we still are comparing. So I shouldn't say we were comparing guided and self-serve together. And when we launched, we said, look, we need to move on to the next phase of the SMB journey, but we're monitoring this. And if anything goes wrong, we drop what we're doing in building and we go and try to fix whatever is going on, because really, there is no option to fail. We have to build this and we have to do it. There's no way to do this with people. There's no going back. So we got to get it right. And what was interesting is when we launched, we didn't see much of a difference between the two. In fact, we saw that our self-serve was actually, and still is, performing better than our guided customers, both with time on site, milestone completions, our logins, and the various metrics that we are tracking with them. And so we're pretty excited about that, but it's a small group. So that's when you can start dialing up, okay, we're going to start putting more customers through this. And so actually this past month in January, we're at 85% of our SMB customers are going through our self-serve option. So you
can imagine, self-selected that, right?
They self-select. Yep. They self-select self-serve. So we have 85% of our customers moving through that. They are performing at the same level, if not better, than our guided. I actually just got churn data today. Our customers are churning at a lower rate than our guided. Though what's really interesting, which we will need to dive into, they're churning for reasons like sometimes experience or features. So that's something that we can learn from, but it's still less than our guided group. So what's fascinating is it's working. What's fascinating, like the fact that I think what's been really successful in this program is as we have established these metrics and look at them, and the whole digital team is focused on these, we've been able to make adjustments week over week. Like we see every week, how is this performing? How is it performing against guided? There was one point around the new year where for some reason our self-serve, their logins had dipped below our guided customers. So we were just playing around with different content, trying to improve that login metric. And lo and behold, we were able to play around with some of the content and make it more engaging. So then people were starting to log in more and utilize the product more. So there's a lot more flexibility with tech touch, I think, than trying to get humans to change. Okay, we need to change like our script, or we need to do this. Like it's a lot easier to do that with tech touch. And we're pretty excited about these early results. We're also excited to continue building. And we did continue to build in Q4. The middle part of our journey. So it's not like we just stopped building after the onboarding and said, okay, digital is done. We have to build through the whole thing. A customer could theoretically buy our product, use our product, renew with our product, without necessarily needing to reach out to a CSM or to engage with a human unless they really wanted to.
So, I mean, that was going to be my next question, was like, what's next? And so I think your what's next is a really natural extension of your customer journey, right? It's like, what comes after onboarding? Well, it's building that relationship and making sure they're using it properly and making sure they're seeing value from it. And then it's like the renewal process, right? And like, how are they going to handle that? And how automated can that be? Or do humans have to step in at some point? And so I think it's really cool how you're approaching it in stages. And I think it's really interesting how much testing you're doing. Because I think that when people think, I'm going to just create a digital system, I've heard from a lot of customers that they feel like it's sort of one and done, and it's never done. You're constantly testing and like improving and like validating.
This is a division. So the way we talked a little bit about team organization. So I have a digital CX group. I have an onboarding team. I have a customer outcomes or CSM team, and I have a support team. So digital CX is a team. It is not, and it's not going anywhere. And their charter, as I mentioned before, is not just SMB and creating just a digital touch onboarding journey. They are creating digital touch, and then they have to maintain that and keep it going and keep iterating, because we want to make sure those SMB customers have an incredible experience and renew at a high rate. We already know our retention rate. We know like what leads up to that. So we're going to be constantly trying to improve that retention rate in that group. But we also need to automate and build more digital upmarket, because we need to make sure we're maximizing the automation in our enterprise groups. There's a lot that our enterprise customers could benefit from. There's a lot that our partner customers who are CSM managed could benefit from. We just are making sure that as we start and kick off this program, there's very clear focus. So we're not trying to boil the ocean, as one would say.
Yeah. I think that's so important, because you have to do this step by step. You can't say, oh, we're going to create a digital program, it's going to cover everybody on day one, or you will never, ever finish that project.
Oh, like, totally. And People often think digital is, oh, well, I'm just implementing CS software. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't implement CS software, but this started with totally software that's outside of Salesforce, Gainsight, Zynga, Transio. It's all outside of that we've built this. We are now in the phase, so over Q4 is when we started cleaning up our data within CS platform, which is Gainsight. So we spent Q4 cleaning that up. In parallel, we were building out guides in-app, like in the product through Pendo, to guide customers through certain sections of our platform, or it basically is incorporated into a button that says, learn more about this. It connects our articles, our videos, and then a user guide that you can jump to. So that's what we were also building in parallel. Now going into Q1, the idea is, okay, Gainsight is in a place where now we can actually create calls to action that when we see time on site dip, we see page views dip, and this is happening with our self-serve customers or our guided, but when it's happening with our customers, the call to action launches, and that call to action is automated to the customer to go through our automation. Like it's a call to action to go through our digital guides. It's a call to action to check out this article, this help center piece. So it's almost like you need to think about the organization of your digital program and, like, again, chunk it out. And it's not just getting your CS platform set up. It's a combination of things. And now that our CS platform's in a good spot, now we can actually build out the playbooks to send a customer through that digital experience. And when those playbooks fail, and we have set like a number of attempts, when that fails, then it goes to a CSM. Because again, 800-1, if we sent all of the CTAs or just built out things in Gainsight, like where, oh, we automated emails or that, but then it just all goes to a CSM, they're still not going to be able to manage that volume. So you really have to think about, like, digital is not just one thing. It's a couple of things that you're tying together. And if you can methodically map it out, you can actually just start to execute on those things. So by the end of Q1, we'll be in a position where We're executing playbooks that run customers back through digital, and then we'll see how many CTAs really get escalated to a CSM, and then we'll be able to staff for that. But we'll also be able to iterate those playbooks and iterate the digital, so eventually we can lower the number of CTAs that go to our CSMs.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fantastic, because right now with the economy the way it is, I think a lot of CS leaders are becoming very protective of their teams and feeling very much like, you know, circle the wagons. But what we should all be doing as CS leaders, I think, is thinking about how do we create efficient teams that are delivering on what our customers want and how they want to get the services they get. And it's not always with a person. I think during COVID, especially, the introverts have come out and said, I don't want to talk to people, you know? And so there's that part of everybody's customer base that you have to be thinking about. And digital serves that group really well. And there may be other customers and other groups that it doesn't serve so well and need that higher touch. And I think there will be, but I think you're smart to be looking at it very holistically and how it can benefit your company as a whole. And I love that.
We had a lot of doubters in the company itself saying that, like, this would never work. All of our customers, you just don't understand dentistry. And I'm like, I mean, I don't understand dentistry, but I get people. And believe me, I hear how many times, like, just internally, we all complain about the meetings we have. Do you not think that our customers have the same problem? And then, have you ever been to a dentist's office? I doubt that they really have a lot of time to hop on a phone with a CSM. I mean, they've got patients that they're trying to check in. They've got patients trying to check out. They've got people everywhere.
Literally handing out samples of toothpaste and like
baggies,
right? Like little baggies of fun stuff for you to take home. I'm like, there's no time.
That's not, and that's not where you're spending your time. And at the same time, and to your point, just think about the experiences like even you want. We need to service our customers in a way that allows them to get what they need when they need it and on demand. And as I started speaking about those things internally, people started to understand, but I think results actually speak for themselves, and our customers really do like it. And we have high satisfaction as well. They do fill out onboarding surveys. We hover around 4.5 out of 5. So it's not like customers don't like it. Now, as I just mentioned, we kind of have some churn data telling us that customers churn from experience or features, but we can dive into that and make adjustments, right? And it's still performing better than even that human touch. So I think people just can't be afraid to build out a program, and specifically digital. It's funny, everyone's kind of hanging on to their resources. I literally just gave $250,000 back to our organization because we have saved about 4 onboarding headcount in our organization by making this change. And not that we let anyone go, it was just through attrition. We just didn't need to hire it back. So we
That's meaningful. That's meaningful for your company. And that's something that CS leaders need to think about. It's not just about CS. It's about how, if you're a leader at a senior level and you're a chief customer officer, and of course, VPs of success need to also operate at this level where you're thinking about what's best for the company, not just what's best for your team.
We're trying to be profitable, right?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, those are things that I think any company would want to do. So it's not about how can I hang on to all of my resources and it's my fiefdom. It's what can we do with the resources we have? How can we change how we're thinking? And then how can we create? And for me, I see the way that we were doing things was definitely not efficient. And part of our success as well was rethinking about onboarding in general. My leader of onboarding completely like flipped onboarding on its head. Like, we put in new processes and we were tracking every single one of them. We called new customer workflows. We built those workflows out and we have certain timelines of achievement. So there's a lot more accountability with the team, even on the guided side, to perform those duties. So because we're doing this level of tracking and efficiency, we just gain a lot. And it's great, like when we can give money back to the organization or reinvest in different areas. And I think that's being just a good steward, like a financial steward of your company. And you should want to do that.
That's your job as a VP or a C-level, like, is to, you know, be a good steward for your company, not just for your team. So, yeah. Okay. Think back I mean, you've done this a number of times for various companies. You're very experienced with this. Think back to the first time you had to put a digital program together and think about that junior leader who's getting tasked with this or is faced with, you know, a 1-800 CSM to customer ratio. What is the best advice you would give to that person?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I know it can feel really daunting. The biggest thing that I can say is first start with your data and kind of figure out like, where do you need to start with your customer segments? You're not building out everything for everyone all at once. So that's not happening. You can say that's the vision, but then you got to break down that vision into something manageable. So take a look at your data or talk to your customers. Like once again, we saw in our data, like we know in our data, 75% of our customers are SMB, like as is. At that time, 80% of the customers coming through are SMB. They're all getting stuck in onboarding. That was the area that was on fire. Like that was the only thing I heard about from customers, the only thing that I'd hear about from internal audiences. So by starting there, it was like, okay, well, we clearly know where we need to start this digital program. And what made it easier to put into place was having that very specific scope. And so you heard us talk about how we walked through and we're still working through SMB. We're not done with SMB. So we're not done with our SMB journey. And we made that really clear. And I was able to show that roadmap to the CEO and say, okay, starting with SMB, starting this quarter with building, next quarter we'll start, like we'll make sure this works and we'll be building this next chunk. But if this doesn't work, understand we're going to stop building and we're going to do this. And so by mapping out those timelines and just making it really clear, everyone can be on the same page with understanding when is digital coming for these areas? When are you going to be focusing on enterprise or partner or this? And it allows you by being very clear to say no. Like when people are like, let's go do Gainsight for enterprise and make sure CSMs can see all of their portfolios. Like, no, like we won't be doing that. Sorry. Like we're focused here and we don't
have that's on the roadmap for 2023. You know,
I have roadmaps. So yeah. If I was to give advice, it's really to just kind of look at the data, understand where you need to start, and then just map out a logical roadmap and set those milestones. Like, when do you need to have this launched? And then when you put a team together, or if you're running that team, make those milestones really clear, saying we have to get here. It gives you something to drive towards. I see so many people try to work forward. It's like they've been given a directive and then they're like, okay, I'm just going to kind of work on this stuff and work forward is what I say, but there's no real end state. Like, when are you going to launch? Oh, I don't know. Like when all of this stuff is done, I guess we'll launch. Instead of saying, I'm going to launch here. What are all the things I need to have in place before I launch? And then you can kind of adjust your timeline, right? Like, let's say I said, oh, I'm going to launch August 15th. And then we start putting all the things down that need to be done before that August 15th date from July. We'd very quickly say, ooh, we set the wrong launch date, but we have all the right things. So now I can push this out to September. Okay, that's going to be our launch date. And then as we started going through those things that you discover along the way, which you will, you can make adjustments to say, oh, do we need to push out the launch date? Do we need to keep it the same? Or who needs to be involved to unblock it? And if it's important enough to get that out and hit that date, people will find a way to unblock it. And it helps you to communicate better with your CEO as well. Where do things stand? When is this supposed to be done? Who's blocking you? Because guess what? I can tell you, like, my CEO would have made sure that we unblocked whatever it needed to be done because it was such an important area for our company to launch and get right.
Yeah. And I'll just add one little piece of advice to what you just said, because what you said is spot on. If you're listening to this and you are looking at yourself, you know if you're an optimist or a pessimist. And if you're an optimist, cut everything that you think you can accomplish in half. And if you're a pessimist, double it. And then you will be fine. You'll come in on time. But you need to know which one you are, because Like, I am an optimist and I think I can get everything done all the time as fast as possible. And when I'm working with other people, it doesn't always work out that way. And other people who are pessimists will tend to kind of sandbag on projects and say, oh, I don't think we can get that done very quick, but your company is expecting you to produce. So, you know, if you're a pessimist and you're listening to this, push yourself. And if you're an optimist, rein yourself in a little bit because you aren't going to get through everything. And I think, Lauren, you're a true realist and you've also been through this a lot of times. So your timelines tend to be pretty realistic.
I started as the optimist though, I would say, but through time and doing this so many times, I like love this advice, Kristen, makes me think like this is the most important part of your project is getting the team together and scoping it and really trying to understand the issue and say, okay, well, what needs to happen? What needs to get done? And then like, as you start to map out these milestones, you'll very quickly say, oh, okay, this is actually a 2-quarter project. Great. But like, hold yourself to those milestones and your team will help you. If you have the right team members, they'll help you say like, help you set how long is this going to take or what will this take? And so just remember, like you've got this team that's going to help you set those things. But to your point, everyone can make the mistake of trying to take on too much or not do enough in a short enough
time. Move quickly to get to results. Yeah. Okay. This is a 1-minute question. it's a big one. What is the biggest trend in customer success right now and why?
It's a wonderful question. From everything that I've seen in the PE and venture firms that I've worked with, it is about scale. And I know people talk about that a lot, but I really think it's the conversation we're having now. How are you getting digital into place? How are you serving customers, but thinking about it from a scalable way? And so I think that this is going to be a year where people really put word into action because a lot of people have been talking about it. But I don't know about you, Kristen, but I haven't heard a lot of people actually do it. And then if they do it, results are nebulous. They don't really have a way to communicate results. So I think this is the year for that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And this is the year to not only do it, but measure it.
Measure it.
Make sure you're getting results. Like you just gave so many amazing examples of how you can test and measure a digital program. Hopefully everybody listening takes that very much to heart because those are great ideas and you have to do that. That's what proves that your solution is working or not and shows you where you have to go and make changes. So
yes. I think
that's so
measurement better.
Yeah. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining me today and talking about how you built out digital CS and how you're continuing to do that in your organization. Thanks for those great practical tips for the audience. I know everybody really appreciates that. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
I think the easiest way is to just ping me on LinkedIn. It's just Lauren Costella. So yeah, I think on LinkedIn, like as it was piloting.
Well, so. we'll put your link in the show notes. So Lauren, thank you again. And I also want to thank our producer, Russell Bourne, and our audio expert, Nico Rivers. This podcast is a production of Success League Radio. To learn more about the Success League's consulting and training offerings, please visit our website, thesuccessleague.io. And for more great customer success content, you can follow the Success League on LinkedIn or at TSL Customers on Twitter. You can subscribe to Success League Radio on Apple or Google or Amazon or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And thanks so much for listening. We hope you'll join us next time.